As you know, we've partnered with Bitbox, makers of the Bitbox O2 hardware wallet. It's a secure, open source, Bitcoin-only hardware wallet with the best user experience in the industry. I personally use it to guarantee that I'll always have access to some of my Bitcoin in cold storage whenever I travel. If you want to check out a Bitbox O2, you can use the promo code HIGHHASHRATE to get 5% off your purchase or go to bitbox.swiss/HIGHHASHRATE. All one word, no spaces. Check them out. Ah, screw it. Here we go.
I remember vividly the Great Recession of 2008, right? And, you know, people lost their life savings. People got wiped out. People couldn't retire when that happened. Real estate values crashed, right? People got seriously impacted by that. This crash, that the problems are exponentially worse now, okay? There's no way we're going to be able to bail this situation out. Nobody is going to want to hold U.S. dollars anymore.
Hey, everybody. This is the High Hash Rate Podcast. I'm Mike.
And I'm Dan.
And this podcast is just two plebs getting high and talking about Bitcoin, life, and the absurdity of the fiat world. Our guests don't necessarily get high with us, and you don't have to either.
But it helps.
Welcome back to High Hash Rate. Episode 107. Today, we have a very interesting guest on that I kind of want to get into the backstory of how we even got this guest on in the first place and how I met. This is Steve London is on. So just a little bit of backstory about this. I was with Swan and I'm doing an ad for them and I'm looking for people to star in this ad and sort of like a, you know, talk to the camera sort of deal for a short period of time, say something, and then cut to the next person doing the same thing. And the way that I started to look for people was I started to go to meetups because I would meet real Bitcoiners and we'd do this ad for Swan. So I was looking around meetups and I was about to take a drive. So that I mapped who I was going to look for, which meetup I was going to go to around. I mapped it around like what the drive would be. And Steve was on that map. And so that's how I reached out to Steve. He's running a meetup there out there in, can I say where you're at, Steve? You're out there in Nevada, in Vegas, and you're running a meetup out there. And we just got to talk and I did a couple, you know, filled a couple minutes with this guy. And I just like, what an interesting dude. He's got a great story. And I just got to have him on the spot. So that's how it happened.
Hell yeah, dude. How you doing, Steve? How you doing tonight?
Hey, Dan, doing great. And hey, Michael, how you guys doing?
Doing good, man.
Great.
just went through a bunch of technical difficulties.
We're back in business. And I just got to open up with my first question. So I was just in Nashville a few weeks ago for the conference. It was huge. It was the biggest conference for sure. And then one of the biggest pieces of news that came out of it was that next year they're moving the conference to Vegas. And Vegas is, that's like the conference capital of the world, I think. But I don't think we've ever had the Bitcoin conference in Vegas. And it just seems like a huge event. And I'm just wondering, are you excited? Like, what's the vibe out in Vegas right now?
Right. Yeah, I know. I am excited for the conference. But, you know, Unconfiscatable has been held in Vegas.
Yes.
So I went to that last year and it was pretty good. It was pretty good. I met a lot of great people and seems like everybody's working on something really exciting in the Bitcoin space. So it was great to just meet other Bitcoiners and, you know, have conversations with people who actually understand what I'm talking about, you know. So that's always refreshing. And that's why I like going to the Bitcoin meetup group, because it's generally people who understand Bitcoin.
What is the local Bitcoin community like in Vegas? Is it people that have been there for a long time? Is it, people that move in from out of state? Is it like the people that work on the strip? Like, what's the makeup of that group?
It's a pretty good mix of people, you know. In Vegas, we get, you know, being in Vegas, we get people that stop into the meetup group from all over the globe, you know, and all over the country.
Interesting.
So yeah, just because a lot of people come here on vacation, you know, and even people who live here, you know, it's like a transient city. people are moving in and out all the time. So, you know, we see a lot of new faces all the time at the Bitcoin meetup group, but it's pretty laid back. We have it at a place called SG Bar here up in Summerlin on 215 in Flamingo. And we normally get anywhere from 6 to 12 people, you know, 20 on a good night. When Bitcoin hit the all-time high a few months ago, we had a really nice turnout. So, you know, it's I look forward to it every week. You know, it's a good bunch.
Well, and what kind of dudes are coming to this meetup in Vegas? Like, are these gamblers? Are these, you know, hardcore Bitcoiners?
A lot of hardcore Bitcoiners. A lot of guys who really know about the technical end of it, you know? And so a lot of times these guys will have discussions and it'll go way over my head. Only because I entered the space more from a financial and economics kind of standpoint, you know, and these guys are very heavy on technical, you know, so it's good because, you know, whenever I have a question, I can always go and ask these guys and they always know the answer. So
what are you from the area or did you move there? What are you doing out there now?
Well, originally from the East Coast. I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. I lived in New Jersey for about 20 years and then came out here for what I thought was going to be a 2-week visit. And I ended up moving out here. So, and I was able to, I'm formerly the controller of the Better Business Bureau of Metropolitan New York. And I was able to keep my New York job and work remotely. So that all worked out for me. And since then, I've retired from the Better Business Bureau.
Can you just briefly tell me what that entails, the controller of the Better Business Bureau of New York?
Yeah, basically, I was responsible for the financial operations of the organization. I ran the accounting department there. And I reported to the CEO.
So you have a finance background. You're sort really dialed into that.
I'm a career certified public accountant licensed in the state of New York.
So with that background, right, with this accounting profession, like, and you mentioned it already that you kind of got into Bitcoin due to the finance and the economics. When did it catch your eye, and what was it about it that really got you, that sucked you into that rabbit hole?
Okay, that's a great question, and it's a question I love answering because I'm a student of the financial markets, and for a long time I tried to understand what Bitcoin was, and so I'd watch YouTube videos of these young people talking in very technical terms that I didn't really understand. And then in August of 2020, I heard about Michael Saylor and his purchase of Bitcoin with MicroStrategy's treasury funds. So I go, that sounds interesting to me. Let me go find out more about that. And then I started listening to Michael Saylor. And so, you know, when I listened to him explain it, it was very easy for me to understand. The way he weaves in, you know, the history of science, economics, physics, the laws of nature, all of that, you know, and then you look at the current situation and it becomes very clear, you know, what Bitcoin is and what's about to happen.
Do you think, you mentioned that you were trying to figure out what it was, you were watching these videos, you were studying it a little bit, but then you heard Saylor. So what was your outlook, on the U.S. dollar system, you know, the economic system that's basically dominated the petrodollar for the past few decades? Were you starting to, it sounds like this was in 2020, starting to be skeptical that this was going to be able to hold together after this COVID response? Do you think that's what like really kind of made it so that Michael Saylor's announcement really drew your attention? Like, you were already thinking about this. You're like, oh, wow. Well, I got to figure something out.
Right. I was very skeptical about the state of the economy, you know, even before COVID. So what I realize now is Bitcoin is the answer to the whole thing. Right. And it just weaves together. And so, you know, we're about to experience a global economic collapse. And now there's this new technology in the picture that was never there before. So, you know, the gold bugs got it right. And, you know, they see it coming. But what they're unaware of is that Bitcoin makes gold obsolete. you can't back a currency that can be diluted with gold that can also be diluted. You know, that just doesn't work. The whole thing leaks, right? And so Bitcoin is far superior to gold in almost every way. And so, you know, and so once you realize that, and once you understand what's about to happen in terms of the global economy, like I said, the picture becomes very clear.
Was there something specific that you were suspicious about? You know, as you were coming into that, like, there's something that tipped you off. Was it the money printing? Was it how?
Was it anything that you not necessarily saw in the New York, in the Bureau of New York, but just in the financial system in New York? Because that was, you know, it's probably very easy to see. That's like the epicenter of where this fiat rot, other than the Central Reserve, like it manifests itself in New York.
Right. Well, it's really global news. It really has less to do with New York and more to do with just the state of the economy. You know, right now we're over $35 trillion in debt. And so, you know, I did an analysis. Back in 2008, when the Great Recession happened, that's when all this spending really took off. Spending has grown about 7.5% each year since the Great Recession. GDP has only grown at a rate of about 4.5%, right? So we're doing all this spending and we're not getting an equal return on the spending, right? And so what has benefited is the stock market, right? The stock market has taken off along with the spending, but none of it is rooted in any kind of reality because, you know, it's all getting further and further away from GDP, which GDP is the reality of it all, right? And so the stock market is more overvalued, I want to say, than ever. The only time it may have ever been more overvalued than today is, let's say, the Great Depression, you know, the times of before the Great Depression. But I think the stock market may be even more overvalued now than back then. So,
right. They show you the graph of the growth of the S&P 500 since 2008. And then they change it so it's that it's denominated in gold. And it's like the S&P is flat, like almost flat since 2008. Mm-hmm. So it's just crazy. Like the growth is fake.
Right. Exactly right. And so that we keep diluting the currency more and more. We're doing it, you know, we're offending worse now than ever, you know, and there's no end in sight. So we're borrowing all this money, $35 trillion, without the ability nor the intention to ever repay it. And that is the classic definition of a Ponzi scheme, right? So people call Bitcoin a Ponzi scheme. The U.S. dollar is clearly, fiat is the Ponzi, right?
Right, so, right. Yeah. And it's, I guess, it's starting to become pretty apparent, but I think that the older you are, the less obvious, I mean, the less time you have before, you know, this is a problem of the future, a problem that you're not going to have to deal with. It might be a problem for your kids or your grandkids, but is the same sense, do you see the same sense of urgency in like your peer group for this problem? Or do you think it's kind of maybe not such a big deal to them if they're not too worried that, you know, oh, I got a few decades, like it'll be okay?
I don't think anybody's really concerned as concerned as they should be. Right, there's a lot of people that think the economy is strong, right? I hear it all the time. Unemployment's low, stock market's at all-time highs, everything's great. When in fact, nothing could be further from the truth. And we're about to find out. So, but let me just start by saying that let's talk about the meetup group. I started the meetup group out here in Vegas because I was running for the United States House of Representatives here in District 3 in Nevada. And I thought it would be a good way to network and meet other Bitcoiners, you know, and also a way to just socialize as well. I have for a social activity. So as a candidate, now I ran in the Republican primary, and that primary was on June 11th, and I finished 6 out of 7 candidates, but it was a great experience. It really was. And my timing was a little off. I think it was a little early with the Bitcoin platform, you know, but like I said, it was a great experience. I met some great people and, you know, I look forward to that meetup group every week. So the spearhead of my campaign was Bitcoin and the fact that I believe we are about to experience a global economic collapse worse than the Great Depression. And so, you know, just like I'm sure you experience, when I try to explain Bitcoin to friends and family members, nobody really gets it. Nobody, and they all think I'm crazy, right? Literally, they think I'm crazy. They think I'm going to lose all my money. My life savings is in Bitcoin, right? So they think I'm going to lose all my money and then I'm making a big mistake. So I think 99.99% of the population doesn't understand Bitcoin, right? Some people think it's a scam. Some people, no, people don't understand how it works. And so I'm saying to myself, how can I educate people about Bitcoin, right? Because Bitcoin is a national security issue. Nations that are early to Bitcoin will be the fortunate ones, and nations that are late will be the unfortunate ones, and it can change the entire balance of power on the planet. Right? So you have the BRICS nations, right? Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, and a whole long list of countries that have joined or have expressed interest and are on a list to join. And I'm not exactly sure the status of that now, but the list is long from what I understand. And they are trying to get off of the US dollar because, you know, after World War II, we reigned supreme on the planet and we had the global reserve currency and we totally abused it in every way by printing $35 trillion more than we had, by using it as a tool to punish other countries, right? And so they're trying to get off of the US dollar, right? So Bitcoin is the answer to their problem too, right? They have all these different countries with all these disparate currencies and they're trying to figure out how to tie it all together and get off of the US dollar. The latest thing I heard was that they're working on a barter system, right? So if they, imagine this, if they figure out that Bitcoin is the answer to their problem before we do, and they announce on a Friday afternoon on a three-day weekend here in the United States, right, that they are going to move to a Bitcoin standard and start trading in Bitcoin while our markets are closed for 3 days, right? We could wake up on Tuesday morning after a Labor Day holiday and, you know, be, you know, in a completely different situation,
right,
than we're in
that's
now.
That's a good point. That's a good point. It's a net. You mentioned the national security issue. So, like, there is a game theory component to whoever decides. It's not, you know, a nation state where this is our new currency. That's a huge announcement to make for somebody like China or Russia or these BRICS countries that you mentioned, like Brazil, yep. India, China is one of those. But there's other announcements. It's like when we announced the ETF here, it's like during the US trade, like right after the trading session. So like people in Asia are asleep. So like you could affect these global markets very severely and have just a very strategic way of doing it. Just like, oh, we're doing it when they're at home asleep. And it becomes less of a consequence as this market cap explodes and gets bigger. But the first mover advantage is going to be massive. It can't be understated.
Right. I mean, with the ETFs, everybody saw that coming, right? There were announcements leading right up to it. So everybody knew that was going to happen. But I don't think, you know, the BRICS announcing that they're going to move to Bitcoin is on anyone's bingo card, you know?
Right.
But if that happens, we're in deep trouble. So, okay. So my question is, when the global economy collapses, there's going to be a massive paradigm shift. We are going to go from nobody understanding Bitcoin to everybody understanding Bitcoin virtually overnight. And we will end up with people panic buying Bitcoin. So let's say nobody figures it out. The global economy collapses, and now there's this paradigm shift. Everybody figures it out. But that's not where we want to be as, you know, as the United States of America or its citizens, right? Now we're competing with everybody else to buy Bitcoin. So I got the idea that I want to preempt that paradigm shift with my own paradigm shift. And the way I want to do that is to get the Better Business Bureau to announce that it will be holding Bitcoin on its balance sheet, okay? So I was the controller of the Better Business Bureau for 6 years, from 2018 up until this past April 2024. And the Better Business Bureau is a 100-year-old not-for-profit organization whose mission is to be the leader in advancing marketplace trust, okay? Now, I know a lot of people don't have a very good opinion about the Better Business Bureau, but a lot of people do. Tens of millions of people turn to the Better Business Bureau every year for information on companies or just assistance in other ways. Okay?
Yeah, can you actually give our listeners, like especially outside the United States, a rundown of like what a Better Business Bureau is? How, you know, does every city, does every state, does every, you know, the country have one? Like, what is its function? And why does it matter? And why does it have it's so ingrained into our communities and our economies?
Right. Well, I wouldn't say it's ingrained into the economy, but it is a household name, right? And they haven't done a great job of promoting the brand, but it's still a household name. You turn on the TV, sometimes you hear it in a sitcom or in a movie, or, you know, the name Better Business Bureau.
Or if somebody does a bad business, you know, they're like, not, their customers are pissed. They're like, I'm reporting you to the Better Business Bureau.
Right. So here's the whole thing with the Better Business Bureau. Here's how it works. Let's say you're a plumber, right? And you want to distinguish yourself from all the other plumbers in town. So you decide that you want to become a member of the Better Business Bureau. Okay. And so you submit an application. The application is vetted. And if you meet the standards, they invite you to join and become a member. And what that means is you pay annual dues, membership dues. So that's where most of the revenue is generated at the Better Business Bureau. Now, remember, it's not a governmental agency. It's not a for-profit corporation. It's a not-for-profit organization. Okay.
Is it kind of a credential to get this, to be like a credentialed plumber?
Let's go into that. Yes. So as a member... That entitles you to use the logo in your advertising, on your truck, you know, on your website, all of that. Okay. Now, in order to maintain your accreditation, you have to maintain the standards. There are 8 standards. My favorite standard, and to me the most meaningful standard, is that if somebody calls the Better Business Bureau and complains about you, Dan the plumber, you must answer that complaint to the satisfaction of the Better Business Bureau, or you will lose your accreditation over it. Okay? So that's really where the rubber meets the road, and that's really where I think they do a poor job of communicating what the Better Business Bureau is, because while everybody's heard of it, not a lot of people really know what we do, right? Or what the Better Business Bureau does. I keep saying we, like I still work there. But that's really it. So you're paying dues. And those dues go toward a staff of people who man the phones and reply to emails, taking these complaints. Right? So you're volunteering to be kind of policed by the Better Business Bureau, and people know that you are held to standards, and that if you do a job in my house and there's a problem, I know that it's going to be resolved, fairly. To the satisfaction of the Better Business Bureau. So that's really the beauty of it. And that's the value of the accreditation.
So what is the value prop of for the Better Business Bureau to hold Bitcoin?
Well, okay. So I got the idea that if I could get the Better Business Bureau to hold Bitcoin on its balance sheet, that would be a signal to America that Bitcoin is not a scam. Okay. So that's the lever that I'm trying to pull here. Okay.
Okay.
Except for the fact that they think that Bitcoin is a scam. The Better Business Bureau does. Now I'm surmising here. Actually, I kind of have an inside view, and I kind of know that they think it's a scam. One of the other things the Better Business Bureau does is reports on scams to the public. They have a tool called Scam Tracker, where you can go online and look up scams, and you put the word Bitcoin in and you get a long list of Bitcoin scams, right? Bitcoin related scams. So 99% of the population doesn't understand it to begin with. And these guys report on scams all day, Bitcoin scams.
They are the Better Business Bureau, because of the nature of what they do. They are kind of, maybe it's like you're too close to something, you can't see the forest for the trees. So they're conflating all of these scams that people have used Bitcoin for, to say that Bitcoin itself is a scam. And it's frustrating, because you just want to say, well, look at all these scams that use the dollar. And that's a way bigger list, and you have that list, but they just don't see it that way yet.
Yeah. Right, exactly right. So where was I? So educate America about Bitcoin by getting the Better Business Bureau to hold Bitcoin on its balance sheet. And I made this beautiful proposal to the CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Metropolitan New York. The office, now there are 93 different Better Business Bureau offices across the continent. Okay, and they're each independent of one another. And then there's a parent association called the International Association of Better Business Bureaus. Okay, and so I worked for the New York office. And the New York office just celebrated its 100th year. Okay, so I wanted to make the gift to commemorate the 100th year of the Better Business Bureau of Metropolitan New York. And I wanted Bank of New York Mellon to be the custodian of the Bitcoin. Now, Bank of New York Mellon they're the oldest bank in America, and they are a founding member of the Better Business Bureau of Metropolitan New York. And I think it was in October of 2022, they rolled out their digital asset custody services for their institutional clients. Okay. So what a beautiful fit, right? And on top of that, I wanted the Bitcoin to be in memory of my father, Seymour London, who retired from the Bank of New York after 30 years, right? So I grew up in a Bank of New York household, and in memory of Edward Wolfe, who was the controller before me at the Better Business Bureau for 18 years, who retired at the age of 79. And both of those gentlemen are deceased. And so I wanted it to be in their memory, right? So what a beautifully woven package, right? That I want to donate this Bitcoin. And so the stipulation was that the Better Business Bureau has to hold the Bitcoin on their balance sheet forever. Okay. And that was December 2022 when I made that offer. Bitcoin was about $17,000 at the time. That was right after the FTX crash, right? And my offer was declined. Okay. So that was disappointing. A $17,000 gift.
They would just accept it. They wouldn't just accept the gift. They actually declined the gift of one Bitcoin.
Well, because they think it's a scam and they don't want to lend their 100-year-old name to it, right?
Amazing.
They think that I'm trying to get one over. In not so many words, I kind of got the feeling like they thought that I was trying to get them to hold Bitcoin on the balance sheet because I own Bitcoin, and that will make Bitcoin go up.
Got it.
Right? And so I think that's what...
Is what a lot of people who, if they have struggles or if they're having a problem mortgage pilling people or institutions like the Better Business Bureau, but it's definitely with individuals too, where they think that you're trying to get them to buy it to pump your bags. And so I feel like that is always our challenge, is like, how do we communicate this? So this is not to pump my bags. This is for you. I'm trying to help you. But you sound like a crazy like used car salesman or something if you don't do it right.
I invite people to the Bitcoin meetup group, that I meet in everyday life, and I get the feeling like they think I'm trying to invite them to some sort of Amway meet or something.
Right.
So that's the challenge. So the Bitcoin offer gets declined. And now I'm like, okay, well, I don't want to give up here. I still want the Better Business Bureau to hold Bitcoin on its balance sheet because I want to educate America. Because we need to be first, because it's a national security issue, right? And so I said, all right, well, there are 93 offices. There's an office here in Las Vegas of the Better Business Bureau. And so I said, okay, you know, I live here now. My family's been here for 25 years. I'm going to run for Congress out here. Let me offer the Bitcoin to the office out here. And so I met with the CEO of the Better Business Bureau in Las Vegas in his office, and I told him what I wanted to do. He told me he would get back to me, and they declined my offer as well. Then I said, okay, what's my next step? So that was March of 2023. In May of 2023, I mailed a two-page hand-signed letter to all 93 CEOs of every Better Business Bureau and the IABBB, saying that I want to give one Bitcoin to one office. The first five offices to get back to me by July 14th will be considered. Right? And now at this time, it's worth about $28,000 or $29,000, something around there.
And you're still working for them? Or are you still working with them?
No.
Okay.
I retired from the Better. Well, no, at that time, I was working for them. Yeah. At the time that this is all going on, right, I was working for them. So I sent the letter. Two offices got back to me. None of them accepted the Bitcoin.
Okay.
So I left it there. That was July 2023, a little over a year ago. And then things kind of sat, and I kind of thought about it for a little while, and I let the Las Vegas office know that the offer was still on the table if they so decided to accept it. And then with the new year, I'm like, all right, I'm gonna ramp up my efforts again. And so I ramped up my social media campaign, right? And I started posting on Twitter and tagging them. And I started posting on Facebook, and I caught their attention, right? And so I received a couple of interesting replies from them. Well, the most interesting one was a cease and desist letter from the International Association of Better Business Bureaus, because my hat and my shirt is logo for my Twitter profile.
Just for people who are just listening to this, what do you wear?
Okay, so right. So the logo, it stands for Better Bitcoin Bureau.
Okay.
And so now the mission of the Better Bitcoin Bureau is to get all 93 offices of the Better Business Bureau to hold Bitcoin on their balance sheet. Okay. So, but they wrote me a cease and desist letter saying that they want me to stop using this logo and the name Better Bitcoin Bureau. And that was January 10th when they emailed me that letter. And I wrote back to them, basically told them how disgusted I was with them. Being that, you know, I sent out a letter to all 93 offices and nobody from the IABBB got back to me, had any questions for me, nothing. And now they're sending me, the first communication I get from them is a cease and desist letter. Not a single question about what I'm trying to do and why, okay? And so I wrote back, I said, this is horrible, you know? And I laid out all the reasons why. You know, I explained that the global economy is going to collapse. I laid out the whole story, and I said, I am not going to cease and desist. That was February 5th of this year that I sent back that reply, and I never heard from them again. So now I've since rescinded my offer of the Bitcoin to the Las Vegas Better Business Bureau, because really what I want is the New York office to take the Bitcoin. And so that's where I am right now. Is I want the New York office to take the Bitcoin, and they have refused. And so it would be great if I could get some support from the Bitcoin community to help them understand that they're making a huge mistake here.
That was going to be my question. My question was like, what is your next step? Like, what is your next strategy? Because obviously, You've tried, but you're still being persistent after these denials. So you're asking for help from the Bitcoin community. Do you have a strategy or like a single message, or is it just kind of like decentralizing the orange pilling effort, so to speak?
Well, I mean, it would be great if somebody other than myself would reach out to the Better Business Bureau and say, hey, you know, why aren't you accepting this Bitcoin, right?
So far it's just you. Like, there hasn't really been much, no other people joining the effort.
No, right.
Okay.
Right. A lot of people don't really understand the story and how it, you know, and a lot of people don't have a high regard for the Better Business Bureau. A lot of people don't understand what impact it will have on Bitcoin, right? So,
right.
But I know that when a press release goes out, that the Better Business Bureau will be holding Bitcoin on his balance sheet, and Bank of New York Mellon is going to be the custodian. That will make news.
That will turn heads, right?
That will make news, right?
I'm just spitballing here, but like, have you thought about, I don't know, like starting a podcast or like kind of like doing something to kind
of coming out a podcast maybe,
or inviting people who work or who are affiliated with a Better Business Bureau or people who are higher up and decision makers in the Better Business Bureau to talk to them and to interview them and to kind of get to know them better and try to network with them, I guess, to see if you can make some inroads that way.
Right. Well, so all my words. Well, look, I've tried to offer them something worth now $61,000, and nobody's got a single question about it, you see? So it's like, then nothing I can say, nothing Stephen London will say to the Better Business Bureau is going to change this.
Okay. So my next question is, because now you've got me curious, is the fact that they think it might be a scam is one explanation, but do you think that there's anything else? Do you think it's deeper? Do you think there's other scenario? Like, I don't know whether it's not laws, but just, they just don't know what they would do with it. Like,
I've gotten questions like that, right? What are we going to do with it?
Yeah.
Like, those two offices that did get back to me, I had conversations with one of those offices. And that's the question I was asked. And the real answer is you're never going to spend this Bitcoin.
You're going to survive.
The world is going to move to a Bitcoin standard, right? And so, you know, it's like, if you had $2 million in the bank and I gave you $60,000, right? Well, you don't have to use that $60,000 for anything, right? Because you got $2 million in the bank. So it's like, when you say, what are we going to use the money for? You have money, right? That's not the issue. The issue is, in a very short period of time, not in the not too distant future, your U.S. dollars are going to be worth zero, literally zero, right? And everybody's going to be on the Bitcoin standard. So, yeah. So right now, the people who don't understand Bitcoin don't understand what they're going to do with it, right? I want the New York office to pave the way for all of the other offices. Because another thing I got was that it would be impossible or illegal to do, but it would be challenging to do, right? The Better Business Bureau is a 501c6 not-profit organization. There are no written, there's no precedent for an organization like that to hold Bitcoin on its balance sheet. So the Better Business Bureau would be a pioneer in that respect. Right. And so I want the New York office to pave the way and light the path for the other offices, you know, but I don't know how many other scenarios there are other than they think it's a scam and they don't want any part of it, you know?
So if New York Better Business Bureau, they said tomorrow, like they said, yes, they finally caved, how would you send it to them? Or like, have you offered to like show them how to use like a hardware wallet or you said, I guess, have it custody at BNY Mellon, but what about the other Better Business Bureaus? Like, where did you, was that also BNY Mellon? Like, how are they going to hold it?
No, I haven't drilled.
They didn't get that far. Yeah.
Into the, you know, yeah, we'll cross that bridge when we come to
right.
it. But the real hurdle here is to, educate, the people at the Better Business Bureau of Metropolitan New York. Now, there is, if you go to bbb.org I think if you type in Bitcoin or crypto, there's a company called Crypto Caverns. And they do, I'm pretty sure they do Bitcoin mining. Right?
Okay.
And they are accredited by the Better Business Bureau of Metropolitan New York. Right? So it would be Rufus. Does anybody know Rufus from Crypto Caverns? Rufus Wright, I think his name is. Anyway, if I could get in touch with him, because really, the other thing is the Better Business Bureau is always looking for new board members.
Right.
And it would be great if he got onto the board of directors of the Better Business Bureau to educate them about Bitcoin. So if anybody out there listening to this podcast can put me in touch with Rufus from Crypto Caverns, that would be spectacular.
Yeah. So it sounds like it's from my point of view, the strategy is this is an institution. These are different institutions, and institutions are full of people. And it's basically like maybe this has to be a grassroots campaign of educating the people in the Better Business Bureau slowly until somebody there has enough influence or can help somebody else who works there that has the authority to say yes. And finally win them over.
Right. And so that would be either, somebody from the public or like an accredited business like Crypto Caverns or a board member of the Better Business Bureau. And Bank of New York Mellon actually has somebody on the board currently. So, those are some ways. But right now I'm dealing with basically one person, and that's the CEO. Her name is Claire Rosenzweig, and her Twitter handle, her X handle, is at ClaireBBB. If anybody wants to reach out to her and say, hey, Claire, what are the reasons why the Better Business Bureau won't take the Bitcoin and
ask those questions. It's free money.
Yeah, well, it's free money, but yes, it's free money. It's free money, but...
Can I hop in here with a question?
Yeah.
Why are the better, why do you want this Better Business Bureau to survive so much that you would gift them a whole Bitcoin? It's such a meaningful thing to give to a business, and they must have really had an impact on.
Well, all right. So like I said earlier, the Better Business Bureau is a 100-year-old not-for-profit organization whose mission is to be the leader in advancing marketplace trust. Now, when I started working there in 2018, I really didn't know what I was getting myself into. Because I heard a lot of negative things about the Better Business Bureau. And so I was kind of curious to see what it was all about. And while I was there, I really bought into the mission. I love the Better Business Bureau. Yeah. And I want to ensure its longevity for the next 100 years, because the mission of the Better Business Bureau is going to become more important than ever with this global economic collapse that we're about to experience.
So regardless of the negative outlook of the Better Business Bureau that we've all experienced, it's like you actually believe in the mission. You think it makes more of a positive impact on society.
Yeah, and also right. And I'm trying to also promote the Better Business Bureau in all of this, right? So everybody wins if they take the
Bitcoin. Sure, sure.
Right? They just don't understand, right?
I mean, it's a cool mission. It's an amazing mission to have. Like, it's a very specific mission. It's like you start a whole business trying to get all, 93 of them? 93 letters you sent it out to this?
Yeah. Yeah, amazing. I wanted somebody to take the Bitcoin and nobody would do it.
Will you start offering templates that people, so they can just fill in their name and maybe some of their own custom stuff? But it's like, I feel like if you could just pump these out and you get enough people sending it to them, it's just going to be overwhelming.
I'm not clear on what you mean.
Sending communications to the Better Business Bureau, whether it's the one in New York or even in their local Better Business Bureau. What I'm trying to draw the comparison to is when there's a big political issue and they're call your senator, email your senator, send a mail to you, and you can use this template that it kind of explains everything that the person who's going to be reading that on the other side, the way that they'll understand it and how to support the issue. Do you provide that type of template or helpful uh, help guidance for like how they can send those communications?
No. And only because, right, so I take it as it comes, right? I'm not trying to force anything to happen. I'm using the tools that God has given me, right? And so when I see an opportunity and something kind of resonates with me and makes sense, I'll take action on that, right? But, you know, I have a limited, you know, I'm a one-man show over here with limited time and energy. So I need to use it wisely, right? And so, yeah, I mean, I have a lot of ideas of things that I could do. It's just, you know, I have to be selective. You know what I mean? But, you know, I could use all the help I could get for sure. And, you know, in terms of educating these folks about it.
For sure.
I kind of want to go back to the talk about you running for the House of Representatives. That was it?
Yes.
Like, why did you make that choice? What was the impetus? And like running on a Bitcoin standard or platform?
Because Bitcoin is a national security issue, right? I see it very clearly. And so it's important that the United States of America is first, right? I mean, think about it. We have $35 trillion in debt, but it's denominated in dollars, right? So if we can beat the rest of the world to Bitcoin, we don't have to default on the debt because the debt, it will be worthless, right? So, you know, none of it'll matter. And that's how we get out of this mess that we're in, you know?
During your campaign for Congress, like, what was the reaction, like the response from voters when you talked to them about Bitcoin? Like, was it making, has Bitcoin making progress out there, or is it still a lot of people just kind of like, I don't know, it doesn't sound like I care about that.
Right. Yeah, vast majority, the overwhelming majority of people do not understand it, right? The words bounce off of them, right? And, you know, they think I'm trying to sell them something. They say, you know, the greater fool theory, you know, I've heard like, all these things, you know. So, yeah, I mean, and a lot of people don't share my view that the economy is about to collapse either. You know, I ran as a Republican. A lot of people, when I tell them I think the economy is going to collapse, they take that as an attack on the Democrats.
Right, right.
I'm not attacking the Democrats. This problem was created by Republicans and Democrats alike, right? This is just the facts of where we are, right? And so, yeah, people don't get it. But that's where this paradigm shift is going to come in, where the economy is going to collapse and people will understand Bitcoin overnight. So, and I'm trying to get ahead of that.
You keep saying collapse, and you mentioned like the Great Depression back there, and I'm thinking about this like major deflationary, because that's what happened, right? All the stock prices just deflated immediately and everything was worthless basically, right?
So stock market crashed.
I feel like the opposite is going to happen, where the stock market just keeps going up and up and up till it's like,
It'll be an inflationary depression, right?
Yeah.
Like instead of a deflationary, because that's how we solve the problem now, is we print money. Back then, that wasn't they didn't have that ability.
That'll still feel like a collapse, I suppose. But I wonder, you know, the differences between what those two, I don't want to know what the difference is.
I think it's happening now, slowly.
You're right.
You may be right about that. The stock market, instead of crashing versus the U.S. dollar, will go up versus the U.S. dollar, but the U.S. dollar is going to zero,
right?
And everything is going to point to Bitcoin, right? So you got three things now in play in this. You got the U.S. dollar, let's say the S&P 500 and Bitcoin, right? Before Bitcoin was not in the picture, the stock market would have just collapsed and we would have gone on with the U.S. dollar. Now the U.S. dollar is going to zero. There's this new technology in the picture that was never there before. And so everything is going to point to Bitcoin. And I think the stock market's going to lose 90%+ of its value versus Bitcoin. And the U.S. dollar is going to, you can line your birdcage with your U.S. dollars. That's where we're going.
Do you think you'll be able to like buy publicly like Apple stock for Bitcoin? There'll be a pair of, you know, Bitcoin to Apple or Bitcoin to Tesla or whatever.
Just like everything points to the U.S. dollar today, everything is going to point to Bitcoin. And I think that is going to happen in the near term, right? I mean, I don't know. You guys are a little younger than me. I'm 54. I remember vividly the Great Recession of 2008, right? And, you know, people lost their life savings. People got wiped out. People couldn't retire when that happened. Real estate values crashed, right? People got seriously impacted by that. This crash, that would, the problems are exponentially worse now, okay? There's no way we're going to be able to bail this situation out. Nobody is going to want to hold U.S. dollars anymore. And the, we're going to experience hyperinflation, and Bitcoin is going to hyperinflate along with it, and it's going to outpace everything.
I'm curious to your thoughts on that, Dan.
Unless
you wanted to go into something else, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to go into that a little bit. One of the most hard impacted places of the 2008 recession, especially in the housing market, was Las Vegas. I actually have a friend who, we were just out of college, and she went and bought a house in Las Vegas for, I think, under $200,000. That, you know, only a few, like maybe a year before that, was over $500,000.
My aunt was telling me to buy. My aunt lived out there. She was telling me to buy one for 60.
Yeah, and my question is, like, because of that, are those scars? Is that memory still in the community in Las Vegas, or is it too transient of a city for them to even? Because I just feel like that would be a bigger, they'd have a better audience considering how bad it hit just not that long ago.
Yeah, but in some ways it was long ago.
Yeah, right?
And they're doing it again. There's more building out here now. They're building everywhere. You know, we live in a valley out here in Vegas. They're building all the way out to the mountain. You know, on any, you know, they're building on any, you know, empty land. And so, you know, no, we haven't learned our lesson. Not only haven't we learned our lesson, not in here in Vegas, but everywhere, things have gotten so much worse. We are in the biggest credit bubble of all time. Look at what happened last week or 2 weeks ago with what happened with Japan and this whole Japan carry trade. You know, the Japanese stock market, I think it's the third largest or the fourth largest economy in the world.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you think things are bad here, things are a lot worse in Japan, the way they've manipulated things and tried to, you know, control the situation. But they are so far away from the laws of nature, the laws of economics, and, you know, just the laws of common sense. The stock market there, in a matter of a week, 2 weeks, I don't know how long it was, lost 26.5% of its value. Okay. The Nikkei, the Japanese stock market.
Wow.
And there was one day here where the NASDAQ intraday was down over 6%, right? So that's so this is exactly how it kind of felt in the 2008 crash, right? These big swings in the market and the news about, you know, why it happened and how they're trying to fix it, and, you know, until the next problem creeped up. And there were these massive swings in the market in 2008. And we're starting to see the beginnings of that now. Except, like I said, the problems are so much worse now.
Right. It feels like things are starting to unravel, and it feels like there's a lot of uncertainty, especially about the next year or two. I mean, with the elections coming up, who knows how that's going to go. How do you see everything unfolding over the next 6 months? Like, what do you think that this collapse or that this economic crisis is, like, going to happen in some window of time, like in the next 6 months to a year? Or do you think it's going to unravel more slowly? And how do you think this, like, bull market that we're supposed to be on the, you know, at the beginning of, how do you think this is going to play out?
The global economy could collapse tomorrow, okay? That's how close we are. And people say, I hear it all the time, you know, that I've been saying that for a long time, right? I've been into Bitcoin for over 3 years now. I've been talking about this global economic collapse. And, you know, I hear all the reasons why it's not going to happen, but none of them lead to anything that, you know, that makes any logical sense, right? People will say the economy's not going to collapse because the government doesn't want it to, you know. And I'm like, okay, well, economies have collapsed before. You think those people wanted it, Green? Right?
Right.
What case did they ever want it to collapse, right? So it's like, just because they don't want it to doesn't mean it's going to happen. Or I hear, oh, you've been talking about this forever. It hasn't happened yet. So it's not going to happen. Well, that's ridiculous too, right? It's not going to happen because it hasn't happened yet, right? What does that mean? You know, that doesn't really make a lot of sense to me, right? Just because it hasn't happened yet, that's more of a reason why it can happen tomorrow, right? I mean,
Right. It's long overdue. It's long overdue.
Long overdue. And we're way over leveraged. The world is over leveraged. And we got a glimpse into that with this Japan.
If Japan's central bank did not step in the next day, back down from raising rates and just go back to buying the Central Bank of Japan's 10-year treasuries, this whole thing would have toppled like a house of cards. They didn't stop it. They just postponed it for now.
Right. Right. But people are becoming wise to it, you know, and I think there's a significant amount of fear growing in the markets, right? And so they're trying to placate everybody, keep everybody calm. They don't want anybody to panic. And so, you know, that's the narrative, you know, that everything's okay. Unemployment, you know, somebody told me the other day that the economy is robust. System, you know, I read the Wall Street Journal. I read the headline. Literally, he said, I don't really have the time to read all the articles, but I read the headlines and I know enough to know that the unemployment is low. The stock market is at all-time highs, and those are signs that the economy is robust.
Sure.
Right, so that's the narrative that the mainstream media is trying to push. But we're not going to be able to escape this, it's imminent. It's imminent.
What's this is the question I want to start asking people, because a lot of people, at least the ones I've asked or talked to, they haven't necessarily thought enough about it, in my opinion. But however this plays out, when it happens, and the assets, real estate, stocks, just equity, all this stuff starts to go down against Bitcoin considerably, what kind of assets, what kind of things do you want to buy, if any, to, you know, because Bitcoiners, we're going to quote unquote inherit the earth in this scenario, right? Like, we're going to be the ones that need to be in charge of owning farmland and industry and energy resources. Like, what do you want to be kind of like, to kind of take over and fix in your life? Or is like, you just kind of going to stay retired? Like, you're enjoying retirement, I guess, is my question.
I am enjoying retirement, but one of the things I want to fix, and this goes into a whole nother branch of the story, I want to fix the Better Business Bureau. I want them to take the Bitcoin, but at the same time, it's not very efficiently run. There are 93 different offices, and I think in some ways they're doing things 93 different ways. And especially with the accounting and the accounting software. The billing and receivables software that they use to manage this database of members, right? So that's very poorly done, and so I would want to fix that. There needs to be some standardization at the Better Business Bureau. They pride themselves on being independent offices, you know, but there are certain things that should be standardized. And again, like I said, I love the Better Business Bureau,
right?
You know, there are people, there's a 25-year club at the Better Business Bureau. There's a lot of people who have dedicated their lives to the organization and have been there for over 25 years. And so you're awarded membership into the 25-year club. The New York office, I think, has 5 or 6 different people there out of 50 employees that have been there 25 years or longer, right? So while I'm retired now and I am enjoying the retirement and, you know, I'm de-stressing from a 30-year career in high-stress corporate accounting, that would be something that I'm interested in doing. You know?
Yeah, man, that actually made me think, like, it would be a great idea, like, in the future, under hyper-Bitcoinization, right? If somebody's applying, like, you said this earlier, people are going to understand Bitcoin overnight. But what they're not going to understand overnight is how to run a node, or how to use cold storage, how to use self-custody, right? So if you're a plumber or an electrician or, you know, a small business and you need to start accepting Lightning payments. You need to start using BTC Pay Server or OpenNode or whatever, some solution, some merchant solution, or you need to be able to run your own node. You need to be able to use a Sparrow wallet, a Bitbox. The Better Business Bureau, you know, like it could be a requirement that as a business that you have the ability to do that using one of their approved or certified
credential
like merchant solutions or something like that, and you can help. That's an avenue, an institution, a community center that can assist those small businesses to be able to kind of smooth the transition for them, because they're going to understand the value overnight, but they're not going to understand the technology overnight, because that takes a long time.
Right. That's a great point. I don't know about making it a requirement for membership, but the Better Business Bureau would definitely be a great avenue to educate people, educate accredited businesses, educate the public about those things, right? It would be a great platform.
For a great resource, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, awesome. Definitely, definitely.
Well, Steve, I think there's the people out there who want to kind of help you on your cause and get and plant that seed in the Better Business Bureau's mind, that orange pill. Like, can you read it again? Like, how do they get in touch with you? How do they get active? How do they get involved?
So, right. So you can find me on X, formerly known as Twitter, Better Bitcoin Bureau. Also London, the number 4 Congress. Those are my, two Bitcoin, Twitter handles. Yeah. So you can find me there. And the New York Better Business Bureau is at New York BBB. Claire Rosenzweig is at Claire, C-L-A-I-R-E, BBB. If anybody feels like reaching out to Claire and talking to her about the Bitcoin offer. And so that's how you can get in touch with me or help the cause.
That's great. Steve, this has been fun for me. I think I probably have 3 or 4 more questions, but I'm obviously not going to get to it tonight. So I think we're sort of getting to time, but I just want to say I thoroughly enjoyed this, and we definitely have to have you back on.
I'll write my letter to the Better Business Bureau and Claire. And then I'll share what I wrote when we release the episode. And so people can use that as hopefully as like, maybe it'll be a Kickstarter. Maybe some more people will start the letter chain or whatever you want to call it.
Dan, that would be magnificent.
There's like, you know.
Hell yeah.
I'll do it.
We'll both send individual letters, and we'll share that with and we'll create a template, and we'll share it with you before that. We can maybe put out there as like, this is a good starter. This is a framework. You can customize this as you want, but this is what we're going to write.
That would be beautiful. Thank you.
Hell yeah.
Cool. Man.
Thanks so much for coming on. Hopefully we'll have either a progress update, some good news, or just an update on the effort, on the campaign here sometime the next few months to the year or so. We'll have you back on and we'll see how things are going.
Okay, I just want to leave with one thought, and that is this global economic collapse that's about to happen has the potential to be worse than the Great Depression. And so when you talk about, you mentioned, Dan, earlier about what assets to buy, I would be stocking up on food, water, and security. Those are my three focuses right now. And so everybody should be getting ready, because it's about to happen.
Cool. I'll cut it.
Thank you again for listening to the High Hash Rate Podcast with Dan and Mike. If you want to learn more about the podcast and see what we're up to, you can find us at highhashrate.com. Or if you just want to speak to a couple of baked ADIQ plebs, reach out to us at hello@highhashrate.com, or you can reach out to us at the High Hash Rate handle on X. Later, everybody.
Holy Toledo!